back the first of the month, the class that we had at Rodney's house was on tattoos. I didn't think that it was presented very well myself. Others thought it was, but that's okay. So I thought I'd do my own version of why I thought what the Bible teaches about tattoos. And if you remember the classes that I have taught in public and out here in this auditorium class, and even when I have the few lessons that I've taught up here in the pulpit the last few months, one of the reoccurring things that I have done, and sometimes it happens that way, I pick a theme and I do that maybe for the whole year, and you'll hear that phrase all the time. So the phrase that you may have heard me say, mentioned different times this year, is, what about the big picture? Gary even did a lesson on, did we get the point, which is virtually the same thing. So what I thought I'd do is approach the topic by looking at the big picture of what we as Christians are to do. It is true that the Bible does not specifically mention tattoos in very many places as the word tattoo. There are a couple of places in Revelations where it mentions that that there was a mark on the forehead in Revelations chapter 14. Whether that was a literal mark or not, I don't know. But if God puts a mark on top of your forehead, I won't say anything about it. But if the tattoo artist down the street, well, then we may have a little discussion. There's also a passage in Revelations that mentions that Christ has a writing on his thigh, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he had a tattoo. Remember, he was a Jew, and according to Leviticus, that was kind of prohibited for the Jews to have markings on their body. But that doesn't mean that that writing wasn't there. It could have been on his whatever clothes that he was wearing. It could have been on a sword that he was wearing. It could have been anywhere. It does not mean literally that it was on the thigh, if that's what it meant to begin with. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware that those are the only passages that I'm aware of in the New Testament that mentions tattoos. Well, so then what's the big deal about it? Well, we want to think about that big picture. So we think about the things that have, and so many people have helped me, and they didn't know that today with my lesson. If you listen to the radio program this morning, Gerald was talking about Joshua chapter 24. And I just want to read that. And keep in mind, we're thinking about what is the big picture of our life as a Christian life and what we're to do. And we're going to talk, we're just going to mention this and just to reinforce what I'm talking about, the big picture. So in Joshua chapter 24, Gerald's lesson this morning was on serving God. And in verse 14, it says, "And therefore fear the Lord," and remember that phrase, because we're going to come back to that in just a minute. "Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods from your fathers, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So what is the big picture that he's trying to talk about? He's talking about serving the Lord. So now the easiest thing for us to do is figure out how we're to serve the Lord. And then we've got it. Jake did an excellent lesson Sunday, and we're not going to go back and read that passage, about Solomon and his quest to figure out what is the meaning of life. And if you go at the end of the chapter and what he finally found the conclusion of the whole matter was, to fear God and keep his commandments. So what does it mean to fear God? Well, as Jake was putting up his slides Sunday night, one of the little ones was talking about what that said, and I said, "Well, what does it mean to fear God?" And they didn't quite know, and I said, "Well, let's just think about the stove that you have in your house that you cook your meals on. that's an ideal thing. Everybody has one. Everybody cooks on one. But does anybody fear it? Well, of course you fear that. Maybe unconsciously, but you fear the heat on that stove. If you put a pan on there, you're not going to grab a hold of that pan, knowing that that stove is on, to take it off without putting something on it, because you know that it'll burn your hand. So you fear the heat that's on that stove, because you know that the consequences are that if you don't fear it, or if you don't understand it, that you will get burned. So that's kind of the fear that we have of God, is that, no, we're not scared of him, but we want to use his gifts properly. We want to serve him properly so that we won't get burned. So that is the big picture. So if we think about those type things as we dwell in any topic, whether it's a tattoo or whether it's anything else, we need to think about how is that helping us serve God. Because Solomon said, if we fear God and keep his commandments, that is the whole duty of man. That's it. That's all we're supposed to do. Joshua says, choose you this day who you will serve. As far as me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So keep that in mind as we go into the New Testament and look at some New Testament passages. Again, someone that helped me today and didn't know it was Jeremy. When he, in his lesson today, in his class today, he talked about, in Matthew chapter 6, he said, no man can serve two masters, and that's verse 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So in the big picture of things, who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve God? Or are we going to serve somebody else? Really, that's what that says. Back up. Be if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We want to worry about how we're to serve God. And are we serving God by altering our body? Now, the passages that was not discussed in the class that we had, that I just didn't understand why, of course, were the passages in 1 Corinthians. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm in 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 9. For we are laborers, meaning we are workers, together with God. You are God's husbandry, that means someone that works in the fields for God. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We need to take heed on how we're building on the foundation that God has given us. For if another foundation can no man lay, then that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, or anything else, really, he's saying, if you build on anything else other than what's given to you, then it will fail. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? The key thing. You are the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, and where is that temple? That's you. That's your body. Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So here, this passage is talking about you know, in the Old Testament, and I started to go back and talk about the temple and the restrictions that were in the Old Testament, but I thought that might be too long of a lesson. I even thought that I might even continue it tonight, but I thought that I ought to be able to make my point from these passages that we're looking at, so I didn't go back. But if you think about how strict they were in the Old Testament about the temple and about who went where and when they went there, and then even in Acts, if you think about Paul, when he was put in prison, one of the things that he was accused of was what? Defiling the temple, the physical temple. And why did he do that? Because he brought Gentiles in there. That's not what he did, but that's what he was accused of. That would defile the physical temple of God by bringing something, a Gentile, in there. And why? Because Gentiles were unclean at that time. So here, now, our bodies are our temple. So if we alter that temple, and you know, one person said that, well, what if we cut our finger off? Have we defiled the temple? No. What does defile mean? Defile means to make unholy or to disrespect. So if you get your arm caught in a hay baler and it jerks your arm off, have you defiled the temple? No. You've not disrespected that. That was an accident. Think about, and when people say things like that, they're just grasping at straws, really, because they're wanting to confuse you. But that is not defiling the temple. Defiling a temple is making it unholy, making it common, or disrespecting it. I read a number, and it was a couple of years old, so I'm sure that it's increased. I know it hasn't decreased. 21% of people in this world have tattoos. If we're supposed to be a unique people and set apart from the world, 21% of the people, and that was a number that was derived, probably, I think, in 2014, we don't need a tattoo. Because if we are, we're one of those 21%. We're no longer unique. We're no longer, and, you know, people say, well, that's not defiling the temple. I'm going to tattoo a Bible verse on my arm so that I'll remember, so that people can see. We're going to read some passages that might not be the best thing to do either. Because is that not kind of like the Pharisees wearing their phylacteries on their head that makes them stand out and that they don't do what the scripture says? We're going to read some more about that in just a minute. But in this passage, this is saying that our bodies are the temple of God. That is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And no, it does not mean that if you have accidentally cut your finger off or your arm off or your leg or have to have it removed, that is not defiling the temple. That is, for whatever reason, maintenance. But you have not disrespected the temple of God when you do things like that. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ. Let me see that again. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly formed together, groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord, of whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This is the temple. This is you. This is your body. Now let's look at Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. And this is also a passage that was mentioned in the class that I thought the only time it was mentioned was you kind of, I think maybe even misapplied. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of himself with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to pause right there. Remember, we're thinking about the big picture of what a Christian should do, and not specifically about tattoos, but we're looking at the big picture and how that affects it. So these people that we've just mentioned are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And which were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of many. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Okay. So, can I use that passage to not encourage you not to get a tattoo? I think I can. Some people will say, rightly so, that this is talking about harlotry, and that is true. That's what this passage is. That's what Paul is teaching the Corinthians, is that they're defiling their temple by engaging a harlot. But what did he do? Harlotry is is the subject. But what did that harlot do? It defiled the temple. He's also talking about that too. So is engaging a harlot the only way to defile the temple? No. And I think we can use this passage because it says, know ye not that your body is the temple and it's not your own? Your body, your temple, does not belong to you. The big picture is that what we've already read is that we're supposed to serve God. That's what our body is for. It's not for our own enjoyment. It's not for others' enjoyment. It's not to express ourselves. It is to serve God. And that, I guess, is the hardest part to do, is trying to figure out, what does that mean? How is it that you serve God? Well, according to this passage, it's not engaging a harlot, because that defiles the temple. So anything that defiles the temple has to be wrong. So here we are. We have a temple. We have two passages in Corinthians that talks about our bodies being temples. And this passage talks about defiling that temple and how engaging a harlot will defile it. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So everything that we in our lives that we should be doing is to serve God. If we can figure out what Solomon meant when he talked about fearing God, again, when we fear God, are we looking for the things that would please him? Now, if you fear the law. There's nothing wrong with the laws that we have in this land as long as we obey them. But if you're out here on 431 and you're going, the fear of getting a traffic ticket should keep you at 55 miles an hour or whatever the speed limit is. That is the kind of fear that we should have. So if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So here, we've talked about our temple. We've talked about the big picture. Now, all we need to do is do everything that we do for the glory of God. Now, can we alter our body, the way our body looks, and please God? Or does that glorify God? Wouldn't it be if we did everything that God told us to do, everything, obeyed every commandment, did everything He told us to do, would that not be glorifying enough? Why should we look for other things in our own minds to glorify God? In Romans chapter 12, again, keep in mind we're talking about that big picture. We're talking about serving God, and we're talking about fearing God. In Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what does it mean to present your bodies as a living sacrifice? What does the word sacrifice mean? It means to withhold something or to give something away. So we are to withhold things from our body in order to be an acceptable sacrifice unto God, an acceptable unto God. And the way that we do that, again, is to do the things that He has told us to do. That's all He asks. Fairly simple. In 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So, again, here's a passage that says that we are not like the other people of the world, and that we should show forth praises to God. And that goes right along with the big picture that we're talking about and how we're supposed to fear God and how we're supposed to serve God. And can you do that if you alter your body? Well, there's some things that, you know, are left up for judgment, and that may be one of them. But I hope these things that we've talked about have at least put some doubt in your mind of whether a tattoo is correct or body modification is correct. But if not, let's just make sure that we're following James chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberality, that give to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and is tossed. So, if nothing else, let's pray to God and see if that's okay, that we could modify our body. And if you can come away with a clear answer, go for it. But remember that it says, let him ask in faith. Let's go back to Romans chapter 14. beginning in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him not that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. For one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded of his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he eateth that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and give God thanks. And you'll think, well, what does that mean? What's that have to do with the big picture and what we're talking about? It is, could you get a tattoo and do it for the Lord? It may be, I may think that it's not correct, so I won't get one. But I will do that because I think that that's the correct thing to do. I will not get a tattoo because I think it's the correct thing to do. Well, you may get a tattoo because you think that there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think you can come up with a conclusion that it's correct. I think you can come up with a conclusion that it's not, that there's nothing wrong with it. But this is saying that do it in the Lord. He that eateth to the Lord. So if you have if you think it's okay to get a tattoo, just make sure it's okay with the Lord. That's all you got to do. Fairly simple. Let's go back to Ephesians now. I think we've been in Ephesians already. Ephesians. And again, keep in mind the big picture and how we're going to serve God. Each one of us have our own distinct abilities. This is not one of my distinct abilities to speak in public. But we're going to read about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 7, Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto them. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors and some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Again, you're thinking, well, how does that tie in with tattoos? Well, because when it says that he descended in the same above also that ascended up afar above all heavens that he might fill all things, and he gave these gifts to these particular people, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Why did he do that? And it's answered in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for edifying the body of Christ. Can you do that with a tattoo? If you get a tattoo or you modify your body, and when I say modify, there's other things that go along with that body modification thing. Is that for the perfecting of the saints? If it's not, then it's wrong. If it's not for the work of the ministry, then it's wrong. If it's not for edifying the body of Christ, then it's wrong. That is our whole purpose in life, is to serve God, fear God, according to what Solomon said, and we're edifying the saints. Can we edify the saints by getting a tattoo or modifying our body? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, you'll think, well, now what does that have to do with tattoos? Beginning in verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. Now, when you meet someone, if you were to go to a restaurant or Walmart or any place, and you see someone with a tattoo, would you be able to describe that tattoo before you can figure out what color their eyes are? Or who it is? Is that not the first thing that jumps out? Those that are visible. And this is an outward adorning. This is specifically talking to wives, but the principle is there, that outward adorning, you know, what is it worth? It's the inward adorning that we should be worried about. We should not, again, in that big picture, in the things that we're supposed to serve, how we're supposed to serve God, what is our influence on other people when we modify our body? Is that not the first thing that they see? And then, you know, that's kind of hard to get past after that. So again, think about the things that we have mentioned. Not that there is a specific command that there you shouldn't modify your body or you shouldn't put a tattoo on or mark it up. It's not there. But what is there is the big picture, that we're to choose who we're going to serve, and that we're going to fear God and keep His commandments. That is the things that we should, in any Bible topic, I think that those are the things that should be talked about first. Whatever it is, if you're talking about instrumental music, if you're talking about the way that you dress, we should start with the topic of what is the big picture and how is that, how are we going to serve God by doing these things. That is the thing. We sing a song, I think it's number 340 in the book, and it's based in Colossians chapter 3. And we sing that song quite often. And it's "Do All in the Name of the Lord." Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Well, can you modify your body and do that in the word of the Lord? In word or deed, whatever it is we're supposed to do in the name of the Lord. Can we do that? If you can, I guess okay. I can't see it. Now, here's some questions that may come up, and you're welcome to ask me any question, and I may answer and I may not. But here's some questions that I know that are going to come up. And it's going to be, first one, well, if you're talking about body modification or outward adorning, what about women in their makeup? I don't know. That's a judgment call, that I'm not the judge. We read that in Hebrews. That's not my call. That is God's call. And if women can wear makeup and serve God and fear God and keep His commandments, that's okay. If that fear is there, that maybe I ought not to do this, then maybe you shouldn't. Well, what about... again, we talked about those passages in Revelations where it says that that's how God is going to identify Christians, is by the mark on their forehead. And like I said, God puts a tattoo on your forehead, go ahead. That's fine with me. I'm not the judge. That's his part to play. And if He wants to put one on there, that's okay. But all we need to dwell upon is the things that we can do to serve God. and the influence that we have among other Christians and among those that are not Christians, that we're going to try and influence to come to Christ. So those are the things that I have thought about when we did that class. And maybe I should have put more out there about the temple. But those are the things that I think would prohibit a Christian from, or anyone else, from obtaining a tattoo. Yes, our body is the temple. We don't want to defile the temple of God. We don't, and that defile means to make unholy or to desecrate or to change what God has said. Again, we look at the things and whatever we need to do. Some people have said, well, it's an expression. We're trying to express ourselves. Well, I don't see that. I don't see anywhere, any example in the New Testament where that's our goal, to express ourselves, other than to profess Christ. That's it. And some have said that that we can't legislate from the silence of the Scriptures. I think that's the right phrasing. That when we can't bind the silence of the Scriptures, I guess that's what it is. When the Scriptures are silent on a particular topic, then we can't bind that. Well, again, I'm not trying to bind what the Scriptures haven't talked about. I'm trying to say that in the big picture of things and how we serve God, that I believe that body modification is wrong because it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit anything that we've talked about. It doesn't fit glorifying God. It doesn't fit edifying the saints. It doesn't fit in our worship. It doesn't fit any of those things. So I don't think that I'm binding something that the Scriptures haven't bound. I think I'm just showing that in the big picture of things, as a Christian, that our lives are supposed to be dedicated to serving Christ. And that's it. That's it. So whatever it is that we come up with, if we're looking for a job, and this is where Roddy and I have had some discussions on this, if we're looking for a mate, we need to look for a job that will allow us to serve God, not the other way around, not find a job and then figure out how we're going to serve God afterwards. We shouldn't look for a mate and then figure out how we're going to serve God. You should find a mate, I believe, that will help you serve God. I think that's what the principle was implied in Genesis when God made Adam a helpmeet. And why was that? What did Adam need help doing? He needed help serving God. There was nothing else to do but that. So there's a lot of things that you can think about. And if you use that mindset of looking at the big picture and doing serving God and fearing God that we've talked about. So again, let's think about, if nothing else, this passage in Colossians 3:17. Let's just do all that we do in the name of the Lord, and then we should be okay. But we need to search the Scriptures and make sure what I have said is correct, and make sure that I have not misapplied anything. You may not agree with my conclusion, and that's okay too. You don't have to agree with the conclusion, but I want to make sure that you understand how I understand the Scriptures, and I may understand them incorrectly, and I may have misapplied them some, and if I have, then feel free to correct me on that. But again, I don't ask that you agree with the conclusion, only study to make sure that what I have said is plausible, and study to make sure that you can serve God like He wants to be served. If anyone, this has not been a lesson about anything but serving God, really. And if you've not been serving God, then you need to serve God in whatever way that you can. First, you need to become a Christian. And we've not talked about how that comes about, but we can explain that to you. And if you're already a Christian and you have found yourself not serving God in whatever way, then and you would like for us to pray for you, then you're welcome to come forward as we stand and sing.
who will fall in